So yesterday, Pastor Dave went down to see the cherry blossoms. Anybody been down there this year to see them? Yeah, it was great. Were you there yesterday?
We were.
All right, I was there too. It was great. And it was kite day down there. That was the coolest thing for me, to see all the kites down there. So parents with kids, if you want a great event, do that kite day. They've got all kinds of events for kids. And mom and dads were out there showing how to fly the kites. They were all great. So what a wonderful day. And then with the cherry blossoms, I was around thousands of people streaming, looking at the cherry blossoms, greeting one another, watching people paddling those paddle boats in the tidal basin. And there were several times that I heard parents say to their children, "Don't get lost." I heard it over and over again. Can you imagine the fear and panic of a parent or caregiver with thousands of people, the tidal basin right there, and you cannot find your child? Lost. Scary. Panic. I thought about some ways that we have lost in our lives. When we're traveling on the road and we don't know where we're going, how did we do without GPS that we have on our phones? We get lost. Some of us may feel lost in our marriages, in our jobs, lost on vacation. I was reading about Disney World and how they deal with lost cars. Anyone been to Disney World? Yeah. In their parking lot, there are 46,000 car spaces. They employ people that their only job is to help people find their lost car. The dilemma? So many people rent cars to go to Walt Disney World. They don't know the license number. They don't know the color of the car. They don't know the make of the car. They have these people that they go and they'll put you in the car, and you take your little button, and they just ride you around, and you keep pushing the button until you hear beep, beep, and then you know you have found your car. It's like finding Jesus. Losing a wedding ring or band. Being at the airport, getting lost. Some say the United Methodist Church is lost. Immigrants to a new country, imagine how they may feel lost. Addictions in our lives, the opioid crisis, alcoholism, other drug abuse. I heard a news report yesterday that this is the first year for white males that life expectancy has gone down because of opioid and other drug and alcoholism abuse. Lost and found. We have a lost and found here, and you'll be amazed. People will come in on Monday mornings or call and say, "Did you see a pair of glasses that were here?" We had the preschool auction, and there was one of the parents who had this one of these big bags, and you know, you have the kind of thing that goes in the middle that's kind of hard, like hard cardboard that kind of holds it together. And she had left that piece here at the church, and she was in a panic. I think it was her mother's bag or her mother-in-law's bag. And she said, "Did you see this thing?" And she described it, and Victor, who works for us, you know, he went and got it and gave it to her, and she was so happy. She was elated that what was lost had been found. Today's scripture, there are three parables that we're looking at. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and I'm going to call the lost child, which many of us know as the parable of the prodigal son. And I was reading where there was a preacher, he had a 16-week sermon series on the prodigal son. Can you imagine 16 weeks of Pastor Dave preaching on the prodigal son? I don't know if there's another. There's a lot in there, but for 16 weeks... And the preacher was saying that at the end of the series, a parishioner came up to him and said, "I am so sorry that poor boy ever ran away from home."
16 weeks.
Golly day.
But let's look at the context of what's happening here. There are some Pharisees and scribes that are in this story, and they're kind of over here. And Jesus is preaching, he's teaching to a group of tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were not well liked. They were usually Jewish. They collected your taxes, but they would say, Edna Derek, you owe, the Romans say you owe $30, but I'm going to say you owe $50, and I'm going to pocket 20 of those dollars for me. That was a common practice. And then there were sinners there. We don't know what the sin was, but there was some type of sin that these persons had that probably was a public sin. People were aware. These scribes and Pharisees are saying, look at Jesus over there. He's talking to those tax collectors and sinners. He even eats with these kind of people. What is he doing with them? And Jesus wants to teach these Pharisees and scribes a lesson. Because he thinks that the temple of the day is only welcoming to those that are like those Pharisees and scribes, only those persons that they like who look like them, who act like them, who have jobs like them, and they want no one else. So Jesus tells these three parables about lostness. The first one, there is a shepherd, he has 100 sheep. He counts them. He counts 99. One is missing. He is distraught. And he searches and searches and searches until he finds that one lost sheep. And then he says, I'm going to celebrate. I have found this lost sheep. It's interesting the characters that he uses. Because shepherds were the lowest of the low profession. The second parable he uses is that of a woman. Women were, they had no value in Jewish society except to have children. She has 10 coins. She's in her house. She may count those coins every day. And this particular day, she's counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Where is my coin? So we're told that she gets a lamp. She has to light a lamp. She's so poor, she doesn't have windows in her house. She lives in some kind of hut. And she searches and searches and searches for that lost coin, which has of little value. But she finally finds that. She searches and searches until she finds the coin. She is, wow, let's celebrate. I have found this coin. The third, the one that we know so well, that was preached about for 16 weeks, for heaven's sake. There's a father who has two sons. In Jewish law, the older son gets it all, but the younger son says, you know, Dad, I'm ready to leave. Can I have my share of the inheritance? Can I have half? He says, sure, go and do what you want. So he goes and he blows it all. He's down to nothing. He wants to come back. He says, you know, maybe if I tell my dad how sorry I am, he'll forgive me and take me back. He goes back. The father sees him. He doesn't have to say a word to his father. His father runs down, greets him, loves him, gives him a robe to wear, has a great party. The father was willing to wait until the son came home. The message to those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes is that when we stray from God, God will always search us out and will welcome us. And Jews and Pharisees and scribes, maybe you should do the same and welcome those to the temple. It's interesting that in each of these parables, there's the word until, U-N-T-I-L. And we use that word because it means that we're going to do all the means that we have to get to an end result. And it tells us in the scripture, the shepherd will look for the lost sheep until he finds it. The woman will keep searching for the lost coin until she finds it. The father will keep waiting for the son until he returns home. In our lives, God will keep searching until God finds us. God will keep waiting until we come home. These type things happen because we create distance between God and us. We have temptations, we have things in life that we like that keep away us from our time and love of God that God so much desires. Each of us has some kind of distance in our lives. I'm reminded of the scripture from Romans 8, and it goes like this. You know it as well as I do. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. What is separating us from God? Where have we gotten off the track? It is during this season of Lent that we look inside of ourselves and say, what do I need to do for God to search and find me? What do I need to do where I can say, God, I am coming home, knowing that God will welcome us? I love the writings of Thomas Merton. He has a prayer. It goes like this. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me, and I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. Where are we going? What is on the road for us? We turn to God to help us on this road in our lives. When we feel lost, when we feel alone, when we feel panicked, we simply reach out to God and say, God, help me, find me, rescue me. Our church is embarking on a district event. It's called Shift Plus. What it is, it's a way for us to look at ministries here at Doolin Church that can enhance what we do that have been proven out in the mission field. And so we had our second meeting a couple weeks ago. It's talking about our neighbors, how to reach out to our neighbors. And the person who presented the event mentioned that growing churches are churches that reach out in their neighborhood and community and see those folks as the lost. But there are so many churches that just minister to those who are found. We are the ones who are found. We are happy with ourselves. We're called to go out and to find the lost. I was reading from my divinity school ethics professor, Stanley Hauerwas, and he said this. He said, so many churches, their existence is not on the lost, but for those who are already found themselves. And this is not the role of the church. One of the ways that we reach out to others is through our ESL ministry program, a program that has gone on for many years. And for many persons who may feel lost because they aren't Christian, they may feel lost because they're coming into this big church, they don't know what's on the inside of the doors. And yet once they enter, they experience love, they experience acceptance, and they experience hope. And that, my friends, is the good news for each and every person that enters these walls. May they experience love, acceptance, and hope. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen.